Welcome to this episode of the Joe Homebuyer Success Profiles podcast. Today, we're privileged to talk with Kevin Hart in Louisville, Kentucky. He's a partner with Mike Gorius and the Joe Homebuyer franchise. I'm absolutely honored to have him on the podcast today. So, Kevin, thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us about your background? What did you do prior to get into wholesaling? And then you got into wholesaling before you even found out about Joe Homebuyer. But tell about your story a little bit, what you did prior to even getting into wholesaling in the first place.
Yeah, my career jumped around a little bit. So I graduated University of Kentucky with a double major in accounting and finance. So I went straight into corporate tax accounting for a couple of years, but I quickly realized sitting in a cubicle the rest of my life wasn't going to be it for me. So I pretty much spent those 2 years in accounting, discovering real estate, kind of figuring out that I want to be in sales. I'm a natural introvert, so I wanted to do something that would pull my personality out, that would force me to not just, you know, continue to be a quiet person. So one thing led to another. Real estate got put on the back burner. I got recruited by State Farm to go work as a sales team member in the Cincinnati area. So I did that for a couple of years, which was great for me because, you know, I learned how to cold call, learned how to deal with rejection, learned how to run appointments, just really learned the entire sales process. And then from there, they actually recruited me to move back to Louisville, my hometown, and to open up my own agency. So I opened up my own State Farm agency, did that for a couple of years. But I also quickly realized that owning an insurance agency just wasn't really doing it for me either. I got quickly burned out. You know, you're working your butt off and making nickels on every sale you make. So real estate kind of popped back into my head, got back on Bigger Pockets, started reading all the books, started networking in my local RIAs with other local investors. And I just knew I really wanted to start flipping houses. So my last year in insurance, I told my wife I was going to take $4,000, which is all I needed to go buy this flip house with a hard money lender. We're going to test this out, see how it goes. And luckily that first flip went really well. Ended up buying three or four more flip houses that first year back in 2019. You know, I think I made triple of what I was paying myself as a State Farm agent. And so end of October in 2019, you know, I closed up shop with insurance and went full-time in the real estate. So I've kind of been all over the place, and it was a long road to find real estate.
That's awesome. So you primarily did flips, it sounds like. Did you do any wholesale deals in that initial time, or was it just flips you're doing at that point?
So that first year was just flipping. And I actually was working with a contractor that was a partner of mine. That went bad. He ended up doing some shady things. So kind of sat down with my wife and was like, all right, flipping takes too long. You know, we're only making money every 4 or 5 months. I really need to get into wholesaling. So that's kind of when I dove deep into wholesaling, put 100% of my time into that, and really started building out a wholesaling business so that I could start closing 1-2 deals a month.
Then fast forward a little bit, you found out about Joe Homebuyer by meeting Mike Gorius, right? Did you know about Joe Homebuyer prior to meeting Mike?
No, never heard of it. So pretty much, you know, 5 years have gone by in this business. You know, I've become a realtor, been pretty successful as a realtor. I've built a rental portfolio. You know, I've been pretty successful flipping and wholesaling on a solo level, like just being a solopreneur. But the end of last year, I kind of realized like I'm maxing out what I can physically do right now. Like I have to find a partner, or I have to find something different if I ever want to, you know, grow and get to that million mark. So, you know, fast forward, I met Mike. Mike was a realtor client of mine. I'd helped him buy a couple of flips here in Louisville, and we kind of became friends, just naturally similar ages, similar interests. So we kind of became friends just working together. And then he started telling me that he's getting into wholesaling. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, I do quite a bit of that. I can help you out. Just let me know. Then he mentioned Joe Homebuyer, and he told me the buy-in fee to open a franchise, which I initially thought was insane. I was like, man, you could take that money and go do marketing yourself, and I'll help you out there and show you how to do it. But I think kind of just hearing about the processes and how that franchise fee goes toward having the corporate support, all the front end training, all the continued education throughout the process, getting access to all these other high operators throughout the country, I kind of opened my eyes to like, all right, well, maybe that is a pretty good thing. So I had all these old leads that were sitting around in my CRM because I'm always on the go with flips and being a realtor. So I was just like, hey, Mike, you know, if we did a 60-40 split, would you want to work some of these leads for me? And so he took his Joe Homebuyer training, started working all these old leads of mine. And I think he wrapped up 3 contracts within 2 weeks just from my old leads. And that's kind of where it showed me, all right, well, you know, Mike was a pretty new investor. And all of a sudden, just from the Joe Homebuyer training, he's out here locking up contracts. Maybe there's something to it. So we kind of did like a 6-month trial period together where he was working a lot of my old leads. I was helping him with some of his Joe Homebuyer leads. I did a lot of comps, you know, being boots on the ground, helping him with some flips. And we kind of just determined that it was a really good fit as business partners. He's great at the acquisition side. He's not in Louisville, so he's out of state. So he's great at sitting at the computer and making calls all day and doing that side of the business while I'm here in town. I'm great at managing the flips, working with the contractors, running seller appointments, kind of being the closer. You know, if Mike gets him to third base on the phone, you know, I can go to the appointment and close the deal. So we just kind of worked out and figured out that we worked really well together. And as of April is when I officially signed on to be a 50-50 partner of his franchise. And here we are.
We're recording this in August of 2024. So this episode will come out in September. So just so you kind of are the time context for him getting started, kind of going through that as well. So appreciate that. The other thing I think is really interesting about Mike's situation is he was running the business in Arizona remotely, yeah. Like you said, and kind of working with you and others he was kind of doing deals with there. And I think he found that it was difficult to do it remotely until he met with you and he was making deals work that way. So I think it's a great partnership all the way around. Now he lives in Massachusetts and he's there and you're doing the boots on the ground work there. He does the acquisition side, you do the disposition side, and it's worked out really well between the two of you. I think he did a validation call for us recently on the podcast. And I think he said he'd done 21, 22 deals so far this year. So that's exciting to see you guys' growth and what you're accomplishing there in your business.
Yeah, we both, I think, I'm pretty close to hitting my annual revenue goal and it's, you know, only August. And I think Mike's already exceeded what he thought he would do in year one. So it just shows the power of a partnership. I mean, I think
fantastic.
4X, 5X, what each of us would have done on our own.
Well, talk about the training a little bit for Joe Homebuyer. You've had a chance now that you joined the franchise as a partner to be more exposed to the training and have a chance to kind of interact with the other franchisees. What has impressed you about the Joe Homebuyer franchise model and also the other franchisees who are part of what Joe Homebuyer is doing?
Yeah, so there's two parts of the training that I really appreciate. The first part is obviously hiring a team and bringing on acquisitions managers or disposition people. It's a big part of reaching that higher level of success, you know, multi-million dollar company, which is something I struggled with even back in my insurance days is hiring and onboarding company and people. So just the fact that Joe Homebuyer has all these set videos, set training, they have a training plan that we didn't have to create some training plan for new employees. It's already there for us. It's just super beneficial in bringing on new hires. So, you know, and then two, like, you know, we did two different calls, like phone interviews with a couple of new hires. And then we even called corporate and I believe Janet jumped on a third final interview call. And she was kind of like, all right, well, this guy just doesn't seem like he's the right fit. I know you liked him, but this second guy is probably who you should go with. So that was just very beneficial having even a third set of eyes on candidates to help us make these right decisions, which is something I've really struggled with hiring in the past. And then the second piece is just for me, like, you know, I'm not coming in as a brand newbie, like some of the franchise owners. So I had a pretty good background of this, but just even learning the more extensive portions of like dispositions, like all the training, it just has expanded my knowledge on what I should be doing. Like I never would have thought to just pull a buyer's list in the area and start cold calling buyers to see if we need to, if we're struggling to disposition a deal, just start cold calling people, just start building buyers list that way. So this has just been a ton of training. It's really just expanded my mind on what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. That's kind of helped me get better at what I do.
Well, talk about the other franchisees too. You have a chance to interact with them on the calls and stuff like that you're doing. What has that process been like to get to know what some of the other people are doing? People like Jerry Norton and who has multiple locations now within this, or just other trainings that Joe Homebuyer is providing, Mark and Cody. What's been your impression of their leadership and what they're allowing the franchisees to be able to do as they follow their training and their systems?
Yeah, it's been impressive to be able to get on these calls. Now, you know, I'll be honest, I don't get on as many as Mike does. We kind of let Mike get on all the calls and he kind of lets me know what's going on. Sure. But the calls I do get on, you know, it's just impressive to see the levels that other franchises have gotten to in such a quick period of time and kind of see what's possible. That's a big portion of what changed my mindset on building a team is for the longest time, I was like, teams are headaches. I don't need to deal with that. You know, being solo or being lean is the way to go. But seeing some of these other teams, you know, out on the West Coast or wherever they're at, you know, having 4, 5, 6 employees to where they can go vacation and they're still closing deals and locking up contracts has just completely changed my mindset. So it's always good to see people more successful for you to kind of open your eyes to what's possible.
You mentioned you've learned a lot about disposition since you joined Joe Homebuyer on the training side. Can you give an example of that specifically or something you've learned that's been helping you make more money on a specific deal?
Yeah, it's part of just where we had a deal in the west part of town, which is the rougher part of Louisville. And we just hadn't got any interest. And in the past, usually I send out the mass emails. I might post in the Facebook groups, but that's all I've really done. But the training kind of helped me realize I need to go pull a list of everyone who's bought a property in that zip code over the past year and just straight up cold call them. and that actually worked really well. We ended up finding a buyer. It might have been my 10th call, but we finally found someone who was interested. It just happened to be someone who's not super active on social media, and maybe they're not checking their email, but that allowed us to find that buyer and get that contract sold.
Yeah. What split do you think you guys have between doing wholesaling and doing flips? And do you guys have any rentals right now, or is it primarily just wholesaling and flips that you're doing?
So we do have two rentals together that we just added in the past couple months. I've got a rental portfolio of about 22 rentals, but I kind of took a break on that because we're just really trying to build this business and kind of build the cash flow. But the split between wholesales and flips, probably about 60-40, 60% wholesales, 40% flips. We do a lot more flips, but it's more from other wholesalers. Majority of our own marketing, the seller or talking to sellers directly, we try to wholesale everything that we can. And then I like to flip just because it keeps some income coming in the future. So that's where I just keep good relationships with other wholesalers and I buy their deals.
Sure. What's the criteria that you and Mike use to decide whether you're going to flip a property or just wholesale the deal?
It's usually the income. So like if we can get it sold and we can make a quick 20 or more, we'll wholesale it all day long. You know, if it's a slimmer deal where we know we can make money on it, but it's really hard to send this out to other flippers and truthfully say like, hey, this is a great deal without marketing it up, then maybe we just take it on ourselves and we'll just go ahead and flip it. Or we'll take it down and list it on market if it's a good wholesale opportunity. But really, we like the speed. So if it's a quick 20 or more on profit, we'll wholesale it. If not, we'll take it down and flip it ourselves or maybe even keep it as a rental.
One of the other things that's great about Joe Homebuyer too is they do a lot of training on creative seller financing, and especially with higher interest rates, that's been really helpful right now. I don't know if you've been through the classes that they have online for those, that series of how to do subject to deals or creative financing deals or even novation type deals. Have you guys done any of those kinds of creative seller deals at all at this point, or are you still kind of learning more about that process as you're going through it?
I've done a handful of sub two deals in the past before Joe Homebuyer. We haven't really found any yet that have worked. Actually, no, sorry, it's a lie. Excuse me. We do have one sub two going on right now.
Oh, cool.
It's a newer deal that's going to be a flip. We're having to evict this lady because she has stayed two months past when she was supposed to leave. But that is a sub two deal that worked out really well. Mortgage was super low. We brought some money to the table to pay off the back interest and get the payments caught up. But sub two works really well. What we're kind of going toward in the future is more novation deals. So that's something we're learning from Joe Homebuyer and just some other local investors here. It seems to be a very popular tactic going forward, especially with some of these slimmer deals where if we're bringing on hard money, it just kills the deal. But if we bring on novation and they're keeping it in their name and keeping title in their name, we can just do the rehab and make it a win-win for everybody.
That's awesome. What do you think is a mistake that you made when you first got started doing wholesaling or just in real estate investing that you've learned that you think other people can learn from so they don't have to repeat it themselves?
One big mistake I made early on in my career was thinking about rentals before I had any cash reserves. So if you don't have tax returns to be able to get yourself a good refinance, just ignore the BRRRR process, stick to wholesaling and flipping. And then if you don't have good reserves built up, there's no point you should even think about a rental because one bad HVAC, one bad roof can wipe you out. So I kind of learned my lesson on lost some money trying to do the BRRRR process and build up a rentals before I really had any money in the bank early on. So that was a hard lesson to learn. Another thing in just regards to wholesaling was the marketing portion. Early on, I jumped around. You know, I was doing cold calling. I was using VAs, firing the VAs, going to text blasting, going to Facebook ads. I just never stuck with one marketing piece long enough to see the results. So now it's a lot better with me and Mike. We stick to, you know, our marketing portions now. We make sure they play out or have time to play out so that we can actually see if they're working or not. And it's been a lot better process.
Yeah, I think that's such a great part of the franchise too, right? You have that, the marketing pieces, the collateral, the channels that they explain to you, teach you how to do it. And then you just kind of follow that system. And then, like you said, make sure you play it out to see, is this actually working? I think you're great right on that. It's easy to jump from one thing to another and not really see something through to the end. So great point. What do you think is the best thing you guys are doing right now for marketing to help you find great leads and great opportunities from sellers?
Right now, it's definitely a direct mail. We heavily target probate lists. We work with a company that gives us about, think it's around 400 to 500 leads every month. So it's new probate leads every month. And then when we started with them, they gave us the prior 2 years leads. So we got 5,000 just to start out. And now we get 400 or 500 every single month that we direct mail. That's been a phenomenal list. We're getting, I think we're over a 1% response rate on direct mail, which from what people tell me, that's pretty good. Mike's more the analytics guy, not me. But it seems like we have a lot of leads coming in from that. And then last month, we slowed our Facebook ads because those weren't being as good recently. And we switched more to PPC. And that's been a game changer. We just have a lot more organic leads coming in through the pay-per-click than we have previously. So that's what we prefer. We prefer people to reach out to us than us have to cold call. We still do some cold calling, but just not nearly as much as a lot of other people. So we prefer people calling us and less people screaming at you.
Well, is this, now that you're starting to scale the business a little bit, is this, I mean, I think you kind of alluded to this earlier. We were talking about when Mike said he was going to be joining Joe Homebuyer. Like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to join a franchise? But now that you've kind of start to see the scaling of your business, I know you're kind of still in the process of doing that, but do you think you could have scaled like you're doing right now on your own? Or do you think this is, from your perspective, I guess, what's the most helpful part of being a part of Joe Homebuyer?
Yeah, not at all. So like, that's what I was saying at the end of last year, I was just really struggling on where I was going. Like I just didn't have a direction. I felt like I was capping, you know, my income was as high as it's ever been personally, but I still just felt like I was capped. Like I physically can't run more appointments, make more calls by myself. So having a partner has already, you know, we've already doubled, even tripled where we thought income wise we'd be here sitting in August. And then I was even able to take a couple of vacations last month where contracts were still getting locked up. Deals were still getting closed. People were still answering the phone and I wasn't working way too much on vacation and making my family annoyed. So just having partners. And now that we have new employees, we're already growing faster than what I could have imagined doing on my own and getting to the point where we have a little more time freedom, which is the whole reason we're in this business for the most part. And having a partner has helped quite a bit with that.
Sure. That's awesome. Well, talk about the training. Did you have a chance to go out to Utah and do the training out there? I'm not sure if you've actually did that or not.
I haven't got out training. There yet.
Okay. But you're planning on doing that at some point. Yeah.
Some point.
But I think that'll be really helpful for you too, to even appreciate more the structure, the systems and things like that for Joe Homebuyers. You've gone through that for sure.
Yeah. Next time it's available and, you know, aligns with our schedules, I'll definitely be getting out there.
Yeah. Well, you have a really interesting perspective because you've been doing this for a while before you actually joined Joe Homebuyer. From people who are real estate investors, the ones you see around you and in your market, what do you think is the biggest mistake that you see beginning real estate investors make that may or may not have anything to do with Joe Homebuyer?
There's a lot out there. But just educating yourself a lot. You know, I see a lot of wholesalers who are just individual guys and they kind of jump in this business with very little education. They didn't learn the laws. The laws are constantly changing, not just here in Kentucky. It seems like a lot of states are, their laws are changing.
Yeah.
But just educating yourself so you don't get yourself in trouble legally. Getting some type of sales training is a huge plus for any newbie wholesaler, because at the end of the day, that's what we are. This is a sales position. Like I don't see wholesaling as like some passive real estate. It's not. It's a job. So just you have to treat it like a job. It's not passive real estate investing. So getting some type of sales training, whether that's linking up with a franchise like Joe Homebuyer or finding it elsewhere, I think that's a big mistake new wholesalers do, is they just don't look at it that way. And that's exactly what it is. Sales job.
Great perspective. When you look back on your career doing this kind of investing, wholesaling, flipping, what do you think is your proudest moment where you were able to really help a seller and meet the mission that Joe Homebuyer has to improve lives by delivering creative real estate solutions? Can you think of a specific time where you had somebody you really worked with that you said, wow, this is really amazing what I was able to help this person do. They're really happy, but I also was able to profit on a deal and be successful when I was doing in my investment career as well.
Yeah, there's been quite a few. You know, I've gotten plenty of hugs at closings. I've got plenty of firm shakes, some tears. People, you know, very thrilled with us taking this problem off their hands. But one specifically was a couple months ago. Me and Mike had a lady that her house, she just had some medical issues, couldn't keep up with it anymore. It was pretty filthy when we went and saw it. You know, she had a lot of animals and we were able to kind of work with her, make sure she got a reasonable offer. We were able to get her some cash before we even closed so that she could pay for a down payment on a new apartment, be able to get out of there. You know, we were able to pay for a dumpster before we closed to be able to clean out some of the house. And at the end of the day, you know, she was able to walk away with some money in her pocket, got rid of this house that was already in pre-foreclosure. and she was able to have money beforehand to be able to go find a new apartment so that she wasn't left high and dry before we moved out. So that's kind of where we pride ourselves, you know, opposed to working with a realtor in a traditional market sale, is we were able to give her some money up front. Granted, it's all in the contract, so that we do get paid back, but that's just a benefit working with us. It's like, hey, we can help you out cash beforehand so that you can get moving on a new place. We can provide you a dumpster. We're covering all these costs. And then we were still able to get a really good deal on the property.
Sure. And I appreciate what you said about giving you hugs or just being so grateful for what you did, because that's such an important perspective for this business. So I think some people see it as, if you're hurting someone or you're taking advantage of someone, they're not really doing that at all. They don't have a way to solve this problem, and how grateful they are when they actually get that problem solved with your support and help.
Yeah, she specifically didn't leave review. She wasn't the most technologically savvy. That was paper contracts throughout that whole thing. But sure. We've done a lot better recently in making sure we get all these reviews online, because I would say probably 90% of our deals, they're very happy when they walk out of there. Like, we're solving their problem. So we're doing our best to kind of get some more of those reviews put online.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What do you recommend that someone does? Since you've been in the business for a while, you also have a real estate license. What do you recommend someone does to build a better relationship with other investors in the community and other real estate agents so you can actually find deals or do joint venture deals together as you go forward?
Yeah, just networking with other investors. It kind of depends on your personality. If you've got that big personality and you can show up to a REO event and walk into different groups and become the conversation, go for it that way. Just go meet as many people as possible. If you're like me and, you know, I'm more of an introvert and a little quieter, I like one-on-ones. So 5 years ago, when I was first getting started, I just invited people to coffee, invited people to lunch. I always paid for it. You know, I just tried to make it worth their time to give up 30 minutes to an hour. And that's the best thing for me. That's, you know, I've met tons of private lenders that way. I've met other flippers that have given me some great advice. I've built relationships with other wholesalers that are sending us deals early so that we can get some good deals on flips. And it's just getting face to face with people. You know, that's all this business is. And it helps too with working with the sellers. You know, if you're meeting new investors that you don't know and you can have good conversations, it kind of helps you to have those conversations with new sellers and just kind of get rid of any shyness you may have or any social awkwardness you may have too. So it's just, yeah, the more you're talking to people, I think the more it helps you in a sales career.
Absolutely. One thing that Mike has talked with me about too is the fact that he's been able to go out there and acquire capital too, and working capital, and also people who want to loan money to you, to guys to put to work to do deals and stuff like that too. What has been your experience from doing that process that's been helpful for you guys to be able to expand your operations a little bit faster than you would have been able to do without that kind of capital?
Yeah, I mean, it's helped us scale immensely. So a big part of that is social media. Make sure you're posting everything on social media, and not in a braggy, arrogant way, but just like showing before and after photos and, you know, posting stories about how you helped someone with their house. Just post as much as possible about what you're doing. But that's led to us. I've always had good relationship with some hard money lenders here in town. Mm-hmm. But once I have two or three loans already with, you know, my hard money guys, you start to get a little nervous. I don't want to overextend myself with them or make them stressed out because I have all these loans out. But Mike's done a really good job networking with some private lenders, and I've built some here in town as well that we have four or five private lenders lined up too. So now we're able to borrow money from all these different people and get deals done a lot faster than relying on one hard money source, which can definitely slow you down. Right. And just, you know, the more private lenders you start using, the more they start telling their friends about what they did and how they made an easy 10, 12% on their money, you know, in 6 months or less. And they start bringing more lenders to the table for us. So it becomes an easy referral.
Yeah. Great story. Well, what to talk about the ongoing support Joe Homebuyer provides. You guys have a chance to attend many meetings throughout the week. They have an acquisition training. They have an acquisition disposition hotline you can get on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You have a chance to meet with all the franchisees on Wednesdays. What has that attending those trainings been like for you and learning from other franchisees, learning from Mark, learning from Cody, and some of those different interactions as well?
It's been helpful on the creative side. So, you know, if we get a deal, we're just stumped on how we can make something work. We really want to help someone. You know, it's nice being able to jump on one of those calls and be like, all right, here's the numbers. What do you see that we're missing here? And that's something you just don't have as a solopreneur. So, you know, usually they're able to suggest some other creative options or, you know, maybe go JV with someone here and there. So it's just always nice to have another set of eyes help if we're just really stumped on a deal.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really appreciate you sharing that. Well, very good. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us here today. From your perspective, since you've been doing this for a while, what do you see as a major competitive advantage you have as a Joe Homebuyer franchisee over someone else who just kind of get into wholesaling on their own?
I think having the name behind us helps. You know, obviously people don't necessarily know Joe Homebuyer off the street, but when we show up and we look official and we've got matching shirts and we've got all the right contracts,
right,
and we've got the 5-star reviews on Google, people are just bound to trust us more over, you know, Joe Schmo wholesaler who's just some individual guy who's been doing this for 6 months. Like, we've got the processes, we've got the website, we look like a company, and we're not trying to scam you. Because right. In a world full of scammers, you know, we look like a legit home buying company, which we are, as opposed to just some guy who shows up at your door.
And also, we're doing deals all across the United States. So it makes a big impression when you talk to people and say, look, we're doing deals not just here in this state or this city. Mm-hmm. We're doing deals nationwide. And that makes a big impression upon people, too. And like you said, Joe Homebuyer has a great reputation with sellers and helping them out of situations that they're in. And when people read those, they're like, wow, this is what I want to be working with these guys. This is where I want to be getting help from, for sure.
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah. Well, just in conclusion, I just wanted to ask you about, if someone's listening to this and they think, man, I am kind of like you. I learned a little bit about real estate. I did some real estate before. What advice would you give to someone who's considering joining Joe Homebuyer about why they should join the Joe Homebuyer franchise family and how that will help them scale their business?
You know, from my perspective, where I was coming from, if you've been doing this for a while and you just feel like you're hitting that ceiling, you know, getting into a franchise is just the next step to get to that next level, to get to that $1 million level that we're all trying to. And, you know, I almost look at Joe Homebuyer as more of a coaching program than some franchise I bought into, because that's how we use it. We're using Joe Homebuyer to teach us how to grow a business, become business owners instead of owner operators. And that's, I think, a huge step for anyone out there listening who's kind of stuck being solo. Is not just a franchise so you can wear a cool shirt and get marketing materials. It's coaches and corporate support so you can grow into an actual large scale business.
And working and getting help from people who are actually doing what they say they're doing. That's a big thing too, exactly. Right? That you're not mm-hmm. just, sometimes you get coaching from people and they aren't really doing the work themselves. Whereas Joe Homebuyer is led by people who are in the trenches doing the work themselves. They know how to do that and can give you the insight that you didn't see something before, that gives you a completely different perspective on how to close that deal. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Exactly. 100% agree.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Kevin, for taking the time out of your busy day to share your story with us, your perspective about Joe Homebuyer, what you're doing in the future. And I guess one other question I want to ask you really quick before we finish is, what is your vision for the future? Now that you're part of this, you're starting to scale your business more. What do you see yourself, you and Mike, doing in the next few years as you continue to grow your Joe Homebuyer franchise?
So our long-term vision is to be in 5 different cities. So to have 5 different franchise locations and to grow to a point that we have a central operations manager for each city. And we are just, you know, the overseers of the business. You know, we're not the ones running the appointments, making the calls. We're running the business overall of our 5 locations. And we have high quality managers in place who have high quality acquisition dispositions in place, and just to kind of give us the time freedom that we're all shooting for and the financial freedom. But that's the big goal, is once we feel we've conquered Louisville, we're going to move on to another city and start growing that city as well.
That's awesome. Well, it's exciting to see you guys' growth, and we appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us here today, your vision for the future. It's been exciting to see your guys' growth over the last few months and since Mike started, when you come on board as well, and look forward to seeing and hear more, much more about your success in the future as you guys continue to grow your Joe Homebuyer franchises locations across the country. So thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it, James.
Disclaimer. As with any business, your results may vary and will be based on your individual capacity, business experience, expertise, and level of desire. There are no guarantees concerning the level of success you may experience in this or any franchise. Each individual's success depends on his or her own background, dedication, desire, and motivation. The information presented in this podcast episode that you just listened to is intended to be for your educational and informational purposes only. We are not presenting you with a business opportunity. We are not making any claims as to income that you may earn. Before embarking on any endeavor, please use caution and seek the advice of your own personal professional advisors, including your attorney and accountant. Where income figures are mentioned, if any, those income figures are anecdotal information passed on to us concerning the results achieved by the individual sharing the information. We have performed no independent verification of the statements made by those individuals. Please do not assume that you will make those same income figures. Success in any endeavor is based upon many factors individual to you. We do not know your educational background, your skills, your prior experience, or the time you can and will devote to the endeavor. Please perform your own due diligence before embarking on any course of action. Remember, there are risks in any endeavor that are not suitable for everyone. Please understand that past performance cannot be an indication of possible future results. Any and all forward-looking statements that are presented by franchisees in these podcast episodes are intended to express their opinion of earnings potential. Again, please perform your own due diligence before embarking on any course of action. Follow the advice of your personal qualified advisors. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode, and we hope you've enjoyed this conversation.